It's Tuesday, November 5th, the Tuesday we have all been waiting for, Election Day. I'm Jane Coaston, and this is What a Day, the show that is feeling a combination of nauseous and hopeful and scared, but mostly nauseous. On today's show, Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen talks about her tight race, plus the abortion fight on Florida's ballot. Let's get into it. Vice President Kamala Harris spent the entirety of her final full day on the campaign trail in the must-win state of Pennsylvania. She started in Scranton before moving on to events in Allentown and Reading, two majority Latino cities. She's clearly still trying to capitalize on the fallout from former President Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden rally and a comedian's comments about Puerto Rico being garbage. She's also trying to energize young and first-time voters in the final stretch of the campaign. And boy, did young voters seem energized at Harris' speech Monday at Muhlenberg College in Allentown.
And every day I see the promise of America in all the young leaders who are voting for the first time. I love Gen Z!
And she made a direct appeal to them and their power as a voting bloc.
So here's one of the things about y'all. You are rightly impatient for change. I know that. And you, who have only known the climate crisis, are leading the charge to protect our planet and our future. You, who grew up with active shooter drills, are fighting to keep our schools safe. You have known fewer rights than your mothers and grandmothers are standing up for freedom. And for you, none of these issues is theoretical or political. This is your lived experience. And I see you.
Harris ended the day with two star-studded rallies in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Even Oprah came. Both cities are Democratic strongholds, and she'll need to turn out as many voters as possible to win Pennsylvania's 19 electoral votes, the most of any swing state. She dispatched her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, to the other big Midwest states she's hoping to win, Michigan and Wisconsin, to shore up votes there. Walz also stressed the opportunity for a generational change in politics during his speech in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
We've got a chance, and it's a rare thing to do, in the moment that we're living in, to elect a new generation of leadership, a new way forward, a hopeful, unified America that holds true to our values. That's why you're here today. Yeah. Yeah.
Both Harris and Walz were very polished all day, very on message, very hopey-changey, exactly what any campaign should be in the closing hours of the election. The same could not be said for the Trump campaign. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance has been trying to be Trump's on-message guy. He's at least been talking about the campaign's positions on immigration and the economy during his speeches. Though in recent days, he's also started sounding like Trump, like he did Monday during a speech in Atlanta.
We are going to take out the trash in Washington, D.C., and the trash's name is Kamala Harris.
Fun. But for Trump's part, he really seems to have lost whatever the message was supposed to be. He held four rallies on Monday. Standing in front of a group of women holding pink Women for Trump signs in Reading, Pennsylvania, the former president fantasized about the idea of a matchup between Harris and former professional boxer and convicted rapist Mike Tyson.
Hey, Mike's been through a lot, but he could fight. Let me tell you, that guy could fight. But can you imagine Mike? Oh, he says, put Mike in the ring with Kamala. That would be interesting.
Don't forget, that rasping, terrible weirdo could be the next president of the United States. It's been a wild, messy, historical presidential election. The campaigns are almost certainly feeling a lot of feelings right now. So I called up Alyssa Mastromonaco, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff under President Obama and co-host of the Crooked podcast Hysteria. She talked about what the election day vibes are like inside a campaign. Alyssa, welcome to What a Day.
Jane, thank you for having me.
So as a campaign veteran, what's the vibe like usually the morning of election day? What are people doing? How are people feeling? Is there just a lot of people feeling that, like, I'm going to throw up feeling just for a long period of time?
There are a range of emotions. And since we are sort of memorializing, we are celebrating the life of Quincy Jones, one of my favorite sayings that he always used was, let's start chopping wood. And that is kind of the vibe. You wake up. you're listening to your pump up music. You have listened to One Day More from Les Mis. You know, you're walking to the office. And the funny thing is, though, Jane, is that if people have been doing their jobs, everybody has less and less to do the closer you get to election day. So there's just like a lot of nervous energy and you don't know where to put it, but you know you should be busy. So everyone looks frantically busy, but sometimes you're not sure what everybody's doing.
So I know you're not working on the Harris campaign, but how do you think you'd be feeling right now if you were, given what we know and what we don't know?
Well, I hope that they're feeling proud. And I don't mean that in a way as to like get ahead of anything. Mm-hmm. Like, we're very excited about what we're seeing. I think that they have done a pretty incredible, nearly flawless job of pulling together a joyful, substantive campaign.
At what time do campaigns start getting information on election day that's actually useful? Not exit poll bullshit, not kind of prognosticating,
well,
but when do you start to get a sense of good or bad of how things are going to go?
So the funny thing is, Jane, you're talking to someone who, in the campaign of 2004 with John Kerry, was drinking at 4 o'clock based on exit polls. Because back then, they actually had what they called raw exit polls, which were just things that were showing up on the internet. And we were like, we're killing it in Ohio and Florida. We were not. And so things have changed a bit in the last 20 years. But look, you have organizers on the ground, people who are at the polls, who are seeing who's turning out, right? You're seeing if all the people who you have been calling, are they voting? Are they voting? So you start to get some sort of like spidey senses, I'd say around lunchtime. And then the dreadful exit polls start coming out around 5. I don't listen to them. When all is said and done, 2 months later, exit polls are interesting once we know what we know.
Right.
The thing I always worry about with exit polls, and to all the listeners, it doesn't mean you don't have to go vote if you think things are going good. That is what I always worry about. Exit polls, you know, New York, states in the East start closing 7, 8 o'clock. People out West, Nevada, Arizona are like, oh, well, it sounds like things are going good and I've had a busy day. No, you can't believe any of it. You have to still go vote. You have to do it all. Don't listen to the exit polls. Ever.
In the last week or so, Harris seems to have pivoted her closing message away from Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. She's still talking about how he's a danger, but she's been talking a lot more about herself. Do you think that that was a savvy move on the campaign's part, even though Trump is a uniquely unifying force in Democratic politics, given that none of us like him?
Well, Jane, I think that most of us know how terrible he is. And I think that people who have already voted, who were already voting for her, who were already Team Kamala, I think they're well aware. And I think that right now what she has to do is give people who are undecided a reason to not stay home. She needs to give them a positive message. She needs to give them a motivating reason to get off the couch. The thing that I think is so interesting about what she's doing is that she's being pretty positive. She's doing a lot of bio. She's talking about what she's for. And Trump's just out over here doubling down. So she's like, I want people to have healthcare. I want a healthy America. And he's like, I don't know if you heard it, but Mike Johnson and I are going to kill the Affordable Care Act, which has provided millions of Americans with affordable healthcare. So I think that while she has focused on a sort of forward-looking, positive message, I don't think that we're losing anything because of it.
So let's talk about Trump, because Trump has never been one to stick to a scripted speech, if you remember the Republican National Convention. But he really seems to have been leaning into his own id in the final week of the race. I was telling someone that it's as if he was told that he couldn't possibly lose. So he's like, yeah, RFK Jr. is going to go nuts on vaccines and quote unquote women's health. And I'm going to tell women that I'm going to protect them whether they like it or not. He seems to be doing so much to be disqualifying for anyone who is a wobbler in the middle. But in a race that's been this stable, with someone who is so deeply unstable, how much do you think it matters?
I do think it matters, and I think he's learned some bad lessons, right? So back in 2016, the last, let's say, 3 weeks before the election, he did the same thing, and it worked for him. And so now I think that he thinks, well, people love me for who I am. I am flummoxed by the RFK of it all. RFK, who he said he would put in charge of not just HHS, Jane, but USDA, mm-hmm. all the things that involve our health, that he's like, well, maybe we should take the fluoride out of water and maybe we should ban vaccines in America. In the last 3 weeks in 2016, he kind of just went bonkers on Hillary. Now he's going bonkers on America. And so I think that he has miscalculated this time, but I do think he thought last time it worked and maybe this time it'll work too. I also think that he is much older now, and I think that he is not disciplined when he is tired. And I will not take away from him that he is working very hard, but the more tired he gets, the wider the weave.
Mm-hmm. So the race probably won't be called by tonight, and Harris's campaign mm-hmm. knows that. But Trump said in an interview with ABC that he expects a winner to be declared tonight and that he plans to speak at the right time. Now, we all know there is a non-zero chance he declares himself the winner before all the votes are counted, as he did 4 years ago, because he believes he cannot lose. How do you think the Harris campaign is planning for that?
So I have to imagine they have a very detailed, multi-pronged plan for how to deal with this. I'm sure it involves David Plouffe, Jen O'Malley. I'm sure Governor Shapiro in Pennsylvania has his talking points. You know, I'm sure, because the thing is, Jane, that we know, the minute he does that, God knows what will happen. So I'm sure there is a lot of keep calm and carry on. We're counting every vote. Every vote should be heard, you know, from all of the key officials in all of
the number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
States that Trump would be talking about, and then from the Harris campaign itself.
Alyssa, thank you so much. It's been wonderful to hang out with you.
Jane, thank you so much. See you on the other side.
That was my conversation with Alyssa Mastromonaco, former White House Deputy Chief of Staff under President Obama and co-host of the Crooked podcast, Hysteria. Check out Hysteria, which will keep a close eye this election week on all the reproductive rights initiatives across the country. After the break, we'll talk to Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come. Today, voters in 10 states are deciding on initiatives related to abortion. In Florida, if voters approve Amendment 4, it will lift the state's 6-week abortion ban and enshrine the right to an abortion in the state's constitution. It's facing an uphill battle for a few reasons. One, a constitutional amendment requires 60% approval from voters. Two, the state's Republican governor, Ron DeSantis, has waged a vicious campaign against the group behind the amendment. I called up Anna Hokemer, the executive director of the Florida Women's Freedom Coalition, an organization that's on the executive committee for Yes on 4. Anna, welcome to What a Day.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So what have you been hearing from voters in the last few days leading up to the election, and how has the coalition been organizing to get folks to the polls?
What I've been hearing from a lot of people is it's nuanced, it's complicated. They're almost resentful that the government has sort of put them in the position of having to answer a yes-no question about abortion access. That said, my gut tells me we're going to win. We had a network of over 200 grassroots organizations across the state that helped us get on the ballot, that collected the 1.45 million petitions that we collected. These are people who'd been talking with strangers in the street about abortion access for a year and a half at this point. Getting them to grab a clipboard and bring this thing home for us was not that hard.
Now, something that struck me is I don't think I've ever seen a state government go harder at trying to fight off an amendment off the ballot. And so Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has done literally everything to get Amendment 4 off the ballot since it was introduced. Can you tell me a little bit about the lengths he and his administration have gone to keep Floridians from voting on this measure, or even learning about it through television ads?
It's really quite something. I mean, he's not only somebody who's sort of pushed the edges of what the chief executive can do in Florida to places we've never seen in a governor in this state, but he's using our tax dollars and the law enforcement and the institutions that we rely on to keep us safe in order to, for all intents and purposes, suppress a popular referendum. He has used the state attorney general's office to investigate us speciously. He sent his office of elections integrity to people's front doors who signed the petition to try and intimidate them and get them to recant their signatures. He went in front of a press conference the other day and announced that any doctor in the state of Florida who supported Amendment 4 should be investigated and have their license to practice in this state stripped. We are seeing the weaponization of state resources against something that is protected in the Florida Constitution. We have the right under our Constitution to petition for a constitutional amendment, to see my own tax dollars and my own institutions being used against me and my neighbors this way really leads me to question exactly what the end game is here. I think we're all bright enough to see where this stuff goes.
I wanted to ask you, what does Amendment 4 mean to you personally? What has this fight been like for you, and what does the future look like?
The real reason I started this is because I have three daughters. They're 19, 22, and 25 right now. They're right in the prime of their lives, at the point at which they're trying to figure out who they are and what their future is. And to have their civil rights and human rights stripped from them as they try and create a future for themselves in this country profoundly violated my sense of duty as a mother. I was born in 1973. I literally came into the world with rights that my daughters no longer have. And so my initial motivation wasn't political. It was personal, and it was about protecting my babies. What it's been for me ever since is eye-opening. We, I think, are in a moment in American culture where we're going to rip the bandage of shame off of abortion stories and bring it into the realm of public health. I'm actually honored to have had any role whatsoever in that.
Anna, I know you're so busy, but thank you so much for coming on What a Day.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was my conversation with Anna Hokumer, Executive Director of the Florida Women's Freedom Coalition. One more thing. As you know, because you listen to the show, there are tons of tight races in swing states beyond the presidential ticket. One of them is in the great state of Nevada, where Senator Jackie Rosen is battling Army veteran Sam Brown to keep her seat in Washington. Rosen won her race for the House back in 2016 and her Senate seat in 2018. John Ralston, the Nevada journalist and election guru, predicted on Monday that she and Vice President Harris will win the state. We got to chat with Rosen about her campaign, her plans for Election Day, and how she manages stress during this time of stress. Senator Rosen, welcome to What a Day.
Well, thank you, Jane. I'm excited to be here.
So Election Day is here. You're one of many candidates organizing to get people to the polls in a very tight race in a swing state.
Yeah.
And like many of these candidates, you and your team were out canvassing this weekend. What are you hearing from voters in Nevada?
Well, I can tell you Nevada is a purple state. Races are always tight. Races are always tough. We canvass until the last minute. We make sure every vote is out. And I can tell you that the enthusiasm is through the roof. People are excited to vote for Kamala. People are excited to vote for me. We know we got a lot more work to do, but we know that they're all going to turn out. Women are going out to vote, and the men who love them are going out to vote. So here in Nevada, I'm going to give the plug for voting today on Election Day. If you still have your ballot, you can mail it in, but don't do that. I would say come on down to Allegiant Stadium where I'm going to vote. You can drop your ballot in a drop box. If you're not registered and you still want to vote, that's okay too. You can register and you can vote right there. And if you want to have a little bit of fun and see where they play the best stadium, I want to say, in professional football today, come on down and join me.
John Ralston shared his predictions for Nevada on Monday, saying he expects you and Kamala Harris to win the state. Are you confident?
It's a great position to be in, but we take nothing for granted because, like I said, too much is at stake. Women's rights, our voting rights, our Department of Education, Environmental Protection Agency, seniors getting their Medicare. It's all on the line. I'm glad that he said that, but we're going to keep going until we win this race.
I have to ask, because I've always wondered,
yeah,
how do you manage your nerves on election day? I feel like I would be a complete basket case.
Well, I think you do go through the roller coaster, of course. You wake up just like the anxiety before a big test, right? You know that you've studied, you know you put in the work, you've gone to class, you've done all of those things, and now this is the day that the test is taken. This is the final day where we're going to find out what grade people gave us, I suppose, if you think of it like that. So you have all the emotions, but I'm so grateful for my staff. I'm so grateful for the people of Nevada. My family, they're really keep me going. My husband will make me a great breakfast to keep me calm until we show up at where we're going to watch the results together with everybody.
Senator Rosen, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for everything, and happy Election Day, everyone.
That was my conversation with Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen. Before we go, as a reminder for this week, Cricket will be bringing you daily election coverage with the latest on each race. Every morning, I'll be giving you what you need to know in 20 minutes. Pod Save America will release new episodes with in-depth analysis every day until the race is called. And the hosts from Hysteria and Strict Scrutiny will stop by shows across the network to unpack breaking news. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, contemplate how otters hold their little paws while they're sleeping so no one floats away, and how nice a mental image that is, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading and not just anxiously reading election returns while listening to Philip Glass's Koyaanisqatsi and rewatching the 2024 Rose Bowl, like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at cricket.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and please save us, Steve Kornacki. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producer is Raven Yamamoto. Our producer is Michelle Eloy. We had production help today from Tyler Hill, Johanna Case, Joseph Dutra, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.